Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? You're tuned into 411 Teen. 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and often interrupt our daily lives. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and joining me at the round table as 411 Teen panelists, I welcome Devin Doyle. Devin has always come through, and we really appreciate having him. He's in the 11th grade. He's into soccer, history, and computers. Glad to have you. Hannah Biggs. Hannah is also a student at SAIL. She's in the 10th grade, and SGA, and music, and theater, and human relations are her thing.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for coming. Communication is defined as the transmission or exchange of thoughts, messages, or information, and it's defined by speech or signals or writing. Some of this is the exchange of thoughts can often be muddled. Communication breakdowns occur often. These breakdowns occur when the message you send is unclear or the receiver misreads or misinterprets the information. Maybe a little bit of both, okay? Intergenerational communication or communication between teens and the adults in their lives, particularly parents, may be strained, difficult, and sometimes it may seem absolutely impossible. What can we do to improve our communication with each other? How do parents and teens get on the same page? How do we handle breakdowns? So what we're going to do this hour is just explore communication. When I say communication, would you describe the kind of communication problems you may have experienced? We'll start with parents. And then maybe let's look at problems that you might experience with teachers, with friends, with siblings, and kind of look and see if they're the same, if they're different. So how would you describe, and I say this to both of you, okay, how would you describe the communication problems you may have, Hannah, with parents, starting out with parents?
With my parents, we kind of have a rough relationship, I'd mm-hmm. say, because I think a big part of it is we are not good at communicating with each other. We've been to, like, therapy together, and okay. it just hasn't, I don't know.
So you all recognize it.
So,
though.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we've always had problems communicating since I was very little. But I feel like I sometimes say things that I don't necessarily, like, that's not what I meant. Mm-hmm. And I think that gets, I kind of come across in this way that I didn't mean to, and vice versa for them. And I think we just kind of miscommunicate very often, and that causes a lot of turmoil, I think.
Can you just give me an example of what you might say? I mean, it doesn't have to be really involved. I mean, what you might say that maybe it's misinterpreted, or I don't know. I just want to get an idea of what you're talking about. And if you want to think about it and we'll come back to you, we'll do that too.
Well, I don't want to be, like, biased when it comes to my, because my parents also have different opinions on our problems, of course.
Well, this is where you're coming from today.
So I think, oh, I just had it. I think, for example, sometimes something will happen at school or an interaction at school
okay.
would cause me to not be in the best mood, and okay. that kind of will mess up the rest of my day. And I'll come home and I'll just be like, I just kind of want to go to my room and just listen to music and just kind of calm down. But I think that comes across to them as like, oh, you don't want to, like, hang out with, or you don't want to be around us, you know? And it's just like, I just kind of want to be on my own for a second, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that.
I guess, can't you just say? I mean, if you just tell them, that seems real, you know, I've had a bad day. And that's real easy, you know? Not that, I mean, hey, you know, it's been rough. I just want to chill for a moment.
Yeah. My mom gets that, I think, a lot more than my father does. So mm-hmm. I think that, yeah,
I mean, that's just a suggestion, as
Absolutely.
You're talking about, because if it's some things can be very easily addressed by just elaborating a little bit more on them, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, it's been a long day. Oh, I had an exam that was here, you know?
Yeah,
I just wanna,
absolutely.
And I think if you just can take it the next step, which is not that big a deal, I don't think. I don't know. Maybe
no.
it is. Okay. You know, that might address some of that. What's happening with you, Devin, when you think about communicating?
Sometimes when I'm angry, I don't want to say that I'm angry. I don't feel like explaining it. I'm just mm-hmm. angry. And I feel that I get, like, aggressive is, like, the wrong word. But I just – I guess I kind of expect my grandmother to just know that I'm angry. You know, I just – I'll
She's supposed to be clairvoyant, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Uh-huh.
You know, I do kind of feel like I'm being unfair. And I, you know, I tell myself that, but at the same time I'm angry. I'm not really thinking. So she'll be like, how was your day? It was fine. And I expect her just to get to, like, back off, you know.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
that's my opinion.
Well, you know, for years, I mean, eons and eons, I guess ever since there have been parents and teens, communication has been one of those areas that they always talk about as their breakdowns in communication. And why do you think that occurs? Because it occurs in no matter what generation.
Yeah.
I mean, for example, when I first started doing this program, I would go to some of the schools and meet with some of the debate classes or English, and I'd ask the students, what should I talk about? Give me topics, because that's how I would come up with the topic. And when I first started, communication was one, and even today, communication, and we're talking about 22 years later,
okay? Yeah.
You know, communication. It's interesting how many of the issues and events, too, that may happen are really consistent. They're the same. I mean, 20 years ago, they were saying, talk about breakups, how to handle breakups, talk about depression. So today, what do people say? The same
yeah.
thing. So I say all that to say, why do you think we continue to have this breakdown, I guess? It's identified as a communication issue no matter what. Is it just generational? And that's what I'm getting. I mean, what is it? Because communication has always been an area that you all would say, hey, we need to talk about it.
I don't really know why there's a breakdown, you know, I guess.
I mean, do you think it's generational?
I think it can.
I think that's part of it.
Okay.
As I think that, like, there's always things changing between every generation, you know? Like, everything is completely different.
Right.
And that's always the case. But I think it's also just, like, the maturity of teenagers and maybe just, like, they – I don't know. Things are hard for them to, like, deal with and comprehend and talk about sometimes. Mm-hmm. Same thing with parents. Parents can have the same problems, you know. I think that's just for everyone.
What kind of communication issues would you identify maybe with teachers? Because right now we're just talking about adults. Do you have the same kind of barriers or the same kind that they misunderstand you or they misinterpret you? Are they aren't listening. Another thing that I often hear is that they aren't listening. They don't care. Parents aren't listening. They might hear me, but it goes in one ear and out the other. You're smiling.
I think I have a better time communicating with my teachers than my parents.
Okay.
Maybe it's because I don't live with them, you know. But I think I get along much better with my teachers, and I think they they understand me better. Like, I think they understand what I'm saying better. But I'm personally, I think I'm pretty good at articulating and, like, talking about what I'm – my opinion and stuff like that. We're trying to get across. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel the same. I feel when I interact with teachers, it's a brisk, like, here's my work and that's it. That's pretty much the only thing I need to communicate. Or if there's something happens in SGA, I can just say – this happened, there you go, you know. And when I go to school, I kind of, like, it's not a place for me to feel, like, upset. You know, it's school. I go there to learn. I go there to, you know, do whatever happens that day. So I think I just kind of
– And they do they are a different role. They are in a different role. So, but often what is said with the teens is that communicating with adults is an issue. And so that's why I just broke it down into parents and teachers. And how would you respond to that?
Maybe it's intimidating for some kids, I think intimidation could be possibly a thing. Maybe they've had bad interactions with other, like their other family members or other adults that kind of make it hard to have a connection for some people. I think that's something that's big.
I think some people see adults as like an authority figure. And, you know, they don't want to embarrass themselves in front of an authority figure. So they kind of – they try their best to properly articulate, to seem intelligent and such. But then they fall on their face, I think, is what happens sometimes.
Okay. And that makes sense. And I often wonder – and you can just tell me – if the subject matter that you're discussing – plays a role. I mean, I don't know, but do you find that there's some topics that you're much more open to discussing than others?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So, I'm fine with like politics or something, but if I talk about like drama or something like that, I'd feel really uncomfortable because it's like that's like they don't care. Why wouldn't they care about teenage drama? And it's like. You know, do they really need to know names and all that? But, like, politics, everybody knows politics. Everybody knows what's happening, so.
Yeah.
And you're somewhat removed from that because, you know, like, it's not your drama. It's not what you're going through in your life. You're just talking about the politics of the day.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Do you agree or where do you sit?
Yeah, I can agree. I think it's kind of – I feel like it should be vice versa. But with my teachers, I feel like it's easier for me to talk about what's going on with me kind of rather than with my parents. My mom and I think I can vent to her about a lot of things, but I think I have hard communication with my father about certain topics that maybe are more personal to me. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, another thing about communication is whenever we say communication, we tend to think that it's verbalizing, but there's nonverbal communication too.
Yeah,
and
true.
Nonverbal communication sends a big message, sometimes a larger message than verbal communication. So we're going to take a break. You're tuned in to 411 Teen, but when we come back, I think that we can address the nonverbal, because we decide about people before they even open their mouths. Okay, you're tuned in to 411 Teen. If you just tuned in, the program is 411 Teen, a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. This hour, I'm talking about communication, and I'm talking with students from Sale High School. I have Hannah Biggs and Devin Doyle. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Communication, as I said, is often defined as the transmission of thoughts, but it can also be nonverbal communication. And this, at least I'd like us to address that, because nonverbal communication sends a real strong message, okay? When I say nonverbal communication, what kinds of things do you look at when you see someone? And we all do it. And we come up with an idea, a picture of who they are or what they're going to say or what they're about just by looking at them. Okay? Hannah.
I think the way you carry yourself, I don't know. There's, like, professionally with my teachers, I feel like I'm very open with my teachers, but I'm my school self. I'm not my home kind of my full personality. I think my parents, like, they know me.
They know
what's the difference between, like, my professional manner and my home, you know?
Of course.
So I think, same thing with my teachers. They have their, you know, they're a teacher. They're not the mom then, you know? So I think it's a little it can be hard to kind of see how the person is, depending on, because they can carry themselves different ways.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Okay. All right. And we'll elaborate on that even more.
I mean, you know, if I saw somebody at school and they always look angry, you know, I'm not really going to be like, you know.
Mm-hmm. They always got a scowl on their face, you know. I mean, and that affect is real important. I mean, for example, when we, whether we are aware of it or not, the clothing that someone wears, the way they carry themselves, their posturing tells us something. Their gait, the way they walk, you know, it sends a message, when I talk to you, do I make eye contact or am I looking away? All of those kinds of things, my affect, like you were talking about, looking angry, says something. The color of my skin, the way I wear my hair. I mean, all of this is something that each one of us do. You know, now we may misread individuals, but all of those characteristics and even more contribute to how we see the person. Agree? Yeah. Disagree?
I agree. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Stereotypes. That's a big part of it.
Yeah. And I don't even know if it's just the stereotype, but it just sends a message because you have a picture of what this person is about.
Yeah.
You know? And it may not be a real stereotype, but it's just your interpretation. Okay,
yeah.
Some of it is stereotypes, too. I mean, because, you know, we get into the color of the skin and the hair and all that, and that does send us a message. So if you see someone who is, you know, has a kind of slow glide and they seem indifferent, they don't ever make eye contact with you, they don't smile. When you do say something with them, they just kind of mumble. What does that say to you? What message
that
does
definitely
that send?
Seems like they're not open, they're not willing to communicate. But then again, I think it's very situational. You know, that person, you can chat with that person and they're sad, they're having a bad day. You know, like, I'm becoming really good friends with a recent friend, and he's very quiet in class. And but I've been hanging out with him outside of school, and he's very like funny, and he's loud, and he's really sweet, you know, and so, yeah, I think it sends a different message, but it could mean something totally different.
So also what you're saying to me and what I hear you saying is the milieu, the environment also will dictate the behavior. Because you're saying in class he's very, very quiet and people might misread him and think, oh, yeah, he's quiet. He's not much fun. He doesn't have anything to say. But out of the classroom, you're saying he's a totally different individual.
Yeah.
You have examples like that, or where do you sit as far, again, the nonverbal communication?
Yeah, I mean, you know, and some people are just quiet. Some people just don't like to talk a lot, but they can still be great people.
Yeah.
You know, I know plenty of people like that. So, you know, I pretty much agree with Hannah mostly that sometimes people, they just have a bad day, that one day, and that's the only day you see them, and you permanently, you know, think that they're just a sad, quiet person. You know, and some people like to act. Some people like to act a certain way.
That's a good point.
Especially in school.
Yeah.
So
it's, what I hear is it's a combination of a lot of different things.
Yeah.
When it comes to communication, and I'm, again, talking about communication in general, okay, do you notice a difference in between males and females? And if so, what do you notice? And that's to both of you.
I feel like with boys and such, they're more open towards me. And, like, girls and such are a little bit more, like, I don't know, like, Maybe it's just because, you know, a lot of my friends are boys. The boys, you know. And since they're, like, my buddies, and they're a lot more open with me about things. But usually when I'm talking to, like, a friend that's a girl, you know, we're not, you know, it's like, it's weird. Hold on.
What I hear you saying is it may not be as free.
Yeah.
I mean, am I right? I mean, just kind of spontaneous and free, and that maybe some of your words are meted, so to speak. You're careful how you say them. for whatever the reasons may be. There could be a thousand reasons why. Mm-hmm. But with your buddies...
I mean, I don't yell and scream with my buddies, but I talk about a lot more topics with them than mm-hmm. I would like a girl, for example.
Okay. All right.
I feel like most of my friends are males, so mm-hmm. I don't know. I think females' communication can be more I don't know. I think in my experience, I think females can be more respectful to both perspectives, but I think I think males can do that too. Guys can do that too. I think mm-hmm. most of the people that I have been friends with in the past, I feel like I've had that experience, but I don't know. I think I'm more drawn to male friends. I think communication is maybe like easier, I think is a big part of it. But I can be complicated, but I'd like to think of myself as more of an open person with communication and being more straightforward than most of my friends. So,
do you find that the way you communicate is determined by, and I think you answered this, who you're talking to? And I don't mean just parents and teachers, mm-hmm. but even on peers, okay? Depending on where they may be possibly coming from, that it's going to dictate and determine how you interact with them?
Yeah. Okay. I agree. I think with some of my friends, like I have my best friend, Rose. Mm-hmm. I feel like I can kind of be very I can talk about my straightforward opinion without having to kind of sugarcoat it. Yeah, like censor myself because I really do try to listen to every perspective and I respect every perspective, and I will listen to you and I will understand or try to, you know. Mm-hmm. But I do have my opinions, but I think with people I try to be very neutral sometimes depending on the topic. But I'm very open with my opinion. But with certain friends, I feel like I can talk about things, with not censored. So.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I think it definitely depends on the person you're talking to.
Let's look at some of the factors, the more factors. What role does tone
play? Immediate.
What role does tone play, and what message does it send in your communication?
I mean, if I talk to somebody who was, you know, they're very deep like this and they're very monotone and, you know, they're something like that, I'm going to perceive them as a very serious person. I'm going to act serious in front of them.
Okay.
But if I talk to somebody that's really springy and carefree and all that, mm-hmm. I'll probably be, you know, less, like, scared, you know.
Okay, and that doesn't matter. That's across the board.
Yes.
Across the board. Okay, and what about you, Hannah?
I think tone, I think that's important. I feel like you can kind of pick off what the person is kind of feeling, I feel like, with their tone and, like, their demeanor. And I feel like that can affect how I respond to them, especially in a professional setting maybe or in a really tight tension mm-hmm. setting, I think. Mm-hmm. So,
respond to this. Words can never hurt you. Is that true? Boy, I wish we were on television. I got a response from both of you. You know, people can't see. But, you know, you hear that, and I know you've heard it before. So let's talk about that.
I feel they can if the person wants to be mean enough.
Yeah.
But it's kind of, are you going to let them hurt you? You know, how strong of a person are you that if someone insulted you, are you just going to shrug it off and insult them back, or are you going to take it personally, mm-hmm. like it's, you know, an attack on you?
Okay, so it really has to do with where you're sitting.
Yeah.
Okay, where you're coming from, and that's a good point, Devin, because you're the one that's in control. Okay, just like when someone says, "Well, he made me angry."
Yeah, that's
not quite.
How did he make you angry? If he didn't touch you and didn't put his hands on you or anything like that, now how does he make you angry?
I mean, he can boost that emotion in you by sparking it, but he can't be like, "You're angry now."
Right.
Like,
right. And but you have control over that.
Absolutely. I mean, or you should. Sometimes people, I think, can't have a hard time controlling their emotions, you know, and stuff like that. But, I mean, you can decide how – well, that's kind of – you can try to decide how you're going to react to something, you know, mm-hmm. or how you're going to take something. Because you can just, like – I'm trying to think, like a politician, they can't take everything personally because there's going to be a lot of people that are, you know, like it depends on what your situation is, how you carry yourself as a person, whether you're going to let it get to you or not. But sometimes people have a hard time having that barrier of like being strong enough or whatever. Because I feel like sometimes people don't have that strength or they don't want to, you know, I don't know. So
what about age? How does age influence your communication?
I'm a lot.
Huh?
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say.
I'm a lot nicer of a person.
Oh, really?
I like if I saw like an adult on the street and I'm passing them by, you know, I'd probably be like, hello, hi, howdy. But if I saw a little kid, I'm a lot more like, what's up, buddy? You know, like, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it.
Right. It sounds like you'd be a little bit more formal, and it would be age appropriate.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I don't think you would have to, you know, present yourself
as like an adult,
right? So you find that age does influence because we're just doing is kind of looking at all the different variables that may play into how we communicate. Okay. Does age influence you?
I think it could. I think it depends on how open the person is willing to listen to other people. Mm-hmm. Because I think age, especially like generational, I think there are definitely differences. Okay. And I think it's hard for people. It can be hard. Like my father is a baby boomer. He's 66. I'm almost 16. So we have sometimes a hard time. I think it's really – people have to be willing to listen to others in a sense that, like, things are so much different than, like, when they grew up. Just as this example as a teenager and an older person, it can be different between, like, a child and a teenager. Mm-hmm. But especially with teenagers and adults, things are a lot different than when they were being raised, I feel like, especially, like, I don't know how big of a role social media plays, but like it's a lot different, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yes.
I'll let you respond to it. Do you feel like, what about in communicating, Devin? Do you communicate the same way with a grandparent as you would with a parent when we're still looking at age? I mean, does that influence how you communicate?
I mean, my grandparent is my parent, but I mean.
Well, yeah. You know what I'm really trying to get at is, again, that age difference. Yeah.
I kind of, but not really. I mean, it's like, I think there's a certain, like, age. Like, if I see that they're an adult, I will treat them like an adult. Okay. It doesn't matter if they're 65 or, like, 23.
Okay.
That thing, too, where adults can treat kids like they're. Like adults or young adults and older teenagers who carry them who are
mature
compared to other ones, they treat everyone like they can kind of think more like they're inferior.
Generalized.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
What's going on right now with the kids from Parkland and some of the politicians listening to them? And I don't know how many of them this is their opinion on this. This is they're all teenagers in this kind of movement, you know? I'm sure some politicians are like, these are just kids. Like, you know, they don't know what they're talking about, stuff like that. I feel like they can be generalized.
Just dismissing them.
Dismissing them, yes. Mm-hmm. But not everyone.
If you were going to identify, we have time for this, we have three major communication issues or problems or breakdowns that may exist, what would be the three that you would identify? And we'll come back to looking at each one of them, but what would they be?
Not being able to recognize the other person's perspective, I think, is the biggest part of any debate, argument, discussion, because not everyone's going to have the same opinion.
So they have a myopic kind of perspective.
Yes.
They're looking at one way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like age is like a big one, bias, and just like, I guess like body language, mm-hmm. maybe, I don't know. I need to think about the third one.
Okay,
but,
well yeah. Think about it because we can come back because I just thought it would be kind of interesting to see. One question before we take a break, I think we can answer this. Often with communication, you hear reading between the lines. Mm-hmm. What does that mean to you? What does that say?
Kind of not taking in your first impression of someone, but also kind of giving them, not necessarily leeway, but understanding them beyond their first impression. Like what we were saying earlier, how if someone's having a bad day, mm-hmm. maybe, or like if they seem upset, maybe they're having a bad day, maybe they're upset, this is not how they really are, kind of. Mm-hmm. You're between the lines and kind of see what's really going on.
Okay.
I think.
Oh, no, whatever you say is right, because I just want to know what reading between the lines
right.
means to you. So if you say, hey, I'm reading in between the lines, what are you doing when you read between the lines?
Yeah.
What about you, then?
I pretty much agree with Hannah. I mean, yeah, some people are just angry. Some people are just sad someday. And if you kind of bias yourself off of, like, the first time you meet someone, which is, it's really hard not to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you do, I think you're kind of closing yourself in to making a stereotype of that person.
I am talking about communication with Hannah Biggs. Hannah is a sophomore at Sale High School, and Devin Doyle. Devin is a junior. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll get right back at you.
Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
You're tuned in to 411 Teen, and we have been talking about communication. Well, you know what they say. They say that you young folk really don't communicate. And I have seen it, that this social media and, you know, these phones have broken communication down. I mean, for example, I was in a restaurant, and I know you've heard this many times, and two people come in, a girl and a guy. They seem to be enjoying each other. They're talking to each other. They sit down at the table. She whips out her smartphone.
Oh, no.
He whips out. Oh, yeah. He whips out. And I would notice that they would have no communication. The waitress would come and take their order, and they might look up every once in a while. And I'm wondering, many say that today's young folks don't communicate because of social media. And our ability to communicate has diminished, you know, because we text, we send quick texts. I want to know how you all feel about that.
Personally, I think with social media, it's a really it's fast entertainment, you know, and teenagers, I feel like, have to be entertained all the time, constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, I feel like with my friends, I don't know if I'm, like, phone addicted, but I could probably use a little time away from my phone. I feel like when I'm with my friends and, like, I went to the protest yesterday, and afterwards I went and got tacos with my friend, and we both had our phones out on the table while we were just chatting and showing each other posts and stuff mm-hmm. like that. But we were communicating. But I also feel like if I'm not, like, talking about something I'm seeing on my phone or something that happened. I don't know. I feel like I don't know what to talk about with people. I think I have a hard time finding topics, especially outside of school. In school, I can be like, oh, did you hear about that or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. like this assignment sucks, stuff mm-hmm. like that. But like outside of school with my friends, I feel like it's harder to just finding things to talk about.
Do you think that, and I ask you these same questions too, Devin, do you think that with social media, that communication has really diminished? And I think of another example. They were talking about how people would be walking across the street and just walk out in the street. They were so busy looking at their phones.
That's when you're phone addicted. That's crazy. I couldn't imagine doing that. That's like, Oh, I feel like it depends on the person, so, like, a lot. I mean, especially...
How much
like,
time do you spend on your phone?
I don't know. Okay, I don't think I'm not as, like, the worst, but I could probably be better at time away from my phone. I could, like, be in a room without my phone and be okay. I'm not, like, checking it, you know, constantly. But I also grew up with a phone, you know. Mm-hmm. I got my first phone in fifth grade.
Yeah.
And it's just always been kind of – I don't know. I think it's hard for people who –
It's an appendage.
Yeah. Because we've always had that. People who didn't always have social media or a phone, I feel like it's kind of hard for them to understand. I don't know. It's not like my lifeline, but I think I'd feel uncomfortable if I didn't have it. I don't know if it's ruining communication, but I think it's made an impact.
What about you, Devin? Where do you sit on this?
My 17 years of living, I've never had a cell phone.
Oh, really?
And it's weird. I hate it when people get on their phones when we're talking because it's like, oh, you're on your phone now. I guess I'll twiddle my thumbs till you're done. You know, so it's kind of awkward. And it's like I don't mind if they, like, look at their phone, but when they kind of stop talking and look at their phone, it's like –
That's so rude. Yeah. I could never – I would hate that.
Why have you chosen not to have a phone?
Oh, I haven't chosen.
Oh, you haven't chosen.
Yeah. My grandmother's chosen, I guess.
Okay.
It's always like, I'll get you a phone for Christmas. Don't worry about it. But hadn't happened yet. So.
But you seem to be doing fine without it.
I'm doing all right.
Yeah, I mean –
I think you have an advantage compared to the rest of us because you can – I'm sure you can talk and hold a conversation better.
Mm-hmm.
I guess.
Possibly.
Okay. All right. As we look at communication, do you think public education should be more sensitive to cultural and racial differences in communication, you know, and how you communicate, the words you may use, you know, as far as your culture, okay, that may apply, like... Black English, for example. Okay. That's what I'm talking about. Do you think that education should be sensitive to that or not?
Sure. I'm not sure.
That they should.
I haven't really thought about it.
Yeah. Well, think about it. Okay. I mean, in that, I'm just saying, do you think that we in education should try to accommodate those who may speak in different patterns,
right?
Those who may use slang, those who may have different ethnic backgrounds, and consequently they may speak in broken English, whatever. Do you think that we should take that into consideration, or is everyone expected to meet a certain standard?
I wouldn't want a teacher to baby someone or like favorite someone or necessarily kind of allow everyone needs to be able to if you have it's like I don't know someone who has dyslexia they can't kind of do the same things but they just need a little extra push but as long as everyone's kind of being treated the same I feel like of course I think people should consider others whether that be like their problems or their advantages or whatever if someone's having trouble communicating
English might be a second language.
Yeah, right. Exactly. My friend's from Puerto Rico, and she used to speak really broken English, but now she speaks it fluently. Like, it's going to be hard for teachers, I think, sometimes, or school administrators or other peers at school to kind of deal with it. But you have to be able to listen and do that.
What about you, Devin?
I mean, yeah.
The reason I asked is because the next step is all of you are going to be exposed to exams, okay? If you don't speak our standard English, you know, okay, that may be a disadvantage. Mm-hmm. So that's why I was saying, do you think that education systems – may be sensitive. Yeah, see? May be sensitive to your own idiosyncrasies when it comes to language and where you communicate. But maybe in school, And I don't know. I'm just throwing this out there. Maybe in school, they need to adhere to a standard English, for lack of a better term, protocol, so to speak.
Okay. I think it's...
Because one of the problems on those exams is you need to know how to communicate to be able to take the test.
Okay. Right.
Now, you can say that's biased. I mean, you know, you have individuals who are saying that's biased, it's not fair, whatever. But, again.
I mean, I think it's important for a school or a standardized test to be able to kind of – I mean, it's kind of hard with that because schools need to be able to treat everyone kind of equally, I feel like. But if someone really is struggling, then they could probably talk to a teacher about it and something. I'm not sure. I think it would make sense for them just to, like, talk about it. I don't know. That's a hard
– How do you interact if you are in a restaurant or in a store and the waiter or the salesperson has an accent, whatever the accent is, and you can't understand them?
What would I do? Say, pardon me?
I would probably take it slow. I'd probably, like, if I was ordering something, I would point to what I'm ordering, and I'd be like, this. I would keep it very simple, very slow, because if you're talking 1,000 words to them and using, you know, like slang and such or something, you know, they don't get it.
Right.
Well, that's accommodating. Like, that's not the – so that's – I don't know. That's hard. In schools, I don't know. That's hard.
It's something it's just something I was thinking about.
Yeah.
Threw it out there.
It's
so
– interesting point.
The flip side is then, do you adhere to teaching standardized English in schools?
I guess that'd be a good idea.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, how important is it?
For to know proper English?
I think it
is. Yeah, in this country.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think...
if you want a job anywhere.
Yeah.
You really
if you're an immigrant or if your family is speaks a different language and English is your second language, you need to at least be able to have a conversation with someone because you'd be able to – yeah, if you're going to have a job, you need to be able to speak English. School, you're going to have to be able to speak English, or at least you can speak broken English, I'm sure. But I think it's important, especially because English is a very international language, I feel like, for like professional settings and such. I think it's important.
Yeah.
But not everywhere.
In
a professional, not absolutely everywhere. But I think in
here we are in the United States.
Yeah, I think it's important to know English, especially if you're going to be living here.
You know, because that's a big issue also, as far as do I have to speak English? Why is it so important?
Definitely be harder if you don't know how to speak English to live in the United States.
Yeah.
So,
well, in some places, some parts of the United States.
Yeah.
Something we haven't talked about, because we talk about communication and good communication, but as I said at the very beginning, communication does not only consist of me verbalizing, part of communication is listening, And that's where, we have a lot of breakdowns, And that the individual that you are attempting to convey a message to is not listening, Can you give me some examples, or have you had that? And that's often what teenagers say about parents, that they hear me, but they really aren't listening to what I'm saying. What does that mean?
I immediately thought about politics, in the sense that I feel like some people can be so ignorant, I feel like, and just kind of they blindsight themselves to listening to others. And I feel like you have to be able to listen to another person if you're going to have a conversation, because you have to be able to – I don't know what the right word is here. You have to be able to talk about things, and that is listening to the other person. If you're just thinking about yourself and your opinions, then you're just kind of like putting a wall down, and you're not able to probably can't like correctly convey things to the other person. It will cause a lot of problems if you don't listen to someone else.
How do you know if someone is listening to you?
Well, they're probably making eye contact.
Okay.
They're probably repeating what you're saying, at least little tidbits of it. If a person ever gives you that, mm-hmm, yeah, then they're probably ignoring you, most likely.
Yeah, you're reading my mind because I was going to ask you, what are the examples, what are the messages that people give who, you know, may be nodding their head and looking someplace else?
Mm-hmm.
If a person is, like, leaning in, if they're making eye contact, if they're – you can tell when someone's, like, dismissively going, mm-hmm, and, like, looking at their phone. Or when they're leaning in, looking at you, like, oh, yes, mm-hmm, like, you're understanding.
And listening is part of it. I mean, it's a big part of it.
Absolutely.
Okay. If you miss the message and you don't hear what's being said, then that creates a breakdown. Okay. Mm-hmm. And when there is a breakdown, I'll have you tell me what happens to the communication.
You can't really have one.
Yeah, it kind of just falls apart.
It's like talking to a brick wall.
Yeah. And then what's the next thing that happens? Because if you find that you can't communicate with someone, whether it's you not conveying what you're saying or them not listening or not reading you correctly, yes.
Tension and anger can obviously happen because of that.
And you probably see that more at home because those are people that you live with and you interact with. Because I remember, Hannah, you were saying, well, it's different with parents than with my teacher. Mm-hmm. But, you know, with parents, you spend more time with them. You interact with them. You're sharing that home with them.
Yeah.
So that's one of the variables that would influence. And you think of other variables that will influence our breakdowns in communication. And if you have a breakdown in communication, how do you handle it these last few minutes? What do you do if you find that you are not communicating well, there's something's not going well in your communication, what do you do?
Go ahead.
Devin, you go first.
Yeah, that's what I do. I'm like, wait, hold on. Uh-huh. Re-explain it. Restate the question. That's usually what I do. Or if I just straight up misheard them, I'll just, you know, what was that? You know, mm-hmm. I ask them to restate it, basically, is what I do if there's ever a breakdown.
And if when they restate it, if it's still a problem, then what do you do? And the reason I'm saying is because what you may do if you're having a breakdown is you may restate it. So you mean you want me to do X, Y, and Z, okay? And that's another way of kind of opening the channels of communication. So if you restate, are you state what you think you're hearing, okay? Mm-hmm. And that gives them the opportunity to, interact with you and tell you yay or nay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I agree with what Devin said. If you're not communicating, maybe you need, like, a mediator. I don't know if that's not really, like, what you can do to have a better conversation. But, like, if you really cannot communicate, like, if you're having arguments every time you're trying to communicate because you or the person is having a hard time listening to each other, as you said earlier, like a therapist or just like another friend, the other parent, you know, can listen for you kind of if you're having problems and kind of be able to communicate together and be like, you know, they're talking about this, blah, blah, blah. So,
yeah, what I'm asking is just trying to find out in these last few seconds what you do when you have a breakdown, okay, when there's something that you don't understand. And that may be helpful for teens who are listening, who may listen and go, oh, yeah, well, maybe I'll try that. That's a good idea. So that's exactly what I'm asking you. Any other remedies?
Besides, like, kind of reevaluating and, like, asking, you can just take a second. Maybe you need to, like, calm down, put your mind kind of back together before you kind of go back at it.
Think about it for a second.
Think just, about it, yeah.
Just go quiet and just
process, take a breath,
And that's important, the part that you say, think about it. Because sometimes when we react very quickly.
Yeah.
And we haven't taken the opportunity, taken that time to really kind of think about what was said and where we're going. Well, I do appreciate you all sharing your thoughts. This hour, I've been talking with Hannah Biggs, 10th grade student at Sale, and Devin Doyle. He's a junior. And we have been talking about communicating. To my listening audience, I say thank you for your time and your ear. Tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Teens. Teen was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical assistance was provided by Ken Smith. If you would like to participate in 411 Teen or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 850-645-7200. 411 Teen archives are available as streaming audio and as downloads from WFSU.org. Check us out on Facebook.